The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager.
And welcome to episode number 46. This is Andrew Horowitz of The Disciplined Investor, and you tuned into the right place today because we have something awesome to share with you. I've been very lucky to have the opportunity to answer a question that you have had for some time. So many of you have written me and asked me, Andrew, how do I pick this stock? What do you think of that stock? What do you think of this fund, etc.? And you know what? It's been a bear for individuals for the longest time to really pick a stock, to understand the technique, whether it's quantitative that I've talked about, whether it's the fundamentals and understanding ratios, or whether it's even, you know, when to buy the stock by using the technicals, the charting, to figure it all out. Well, the good news is a good friend of mine, really a great mind, Barry Ritholtz, of what you probably know of him, of The Big Picture, who has been on this show before, has been involved with a company called Fusion IQ, and they have come up with a revolutionary, a game-changing system and program that now will allow individual investors to really play on the same playing field with institutions and professionals. Why? Well, you know what? It's been this huge gap for so long on exactly how to find the best data in order to plug it into your researching tools and to do the calculations to find out those stocks that may be breakaways or on the other side, maybe even the losers, and to understand what your portfolio is doing and to track it go on, you know, moving forward. Well, what they have done, their team has come up with a system that I've been testing for a while now, and I got to tell you, it is really incredible. And it brings together all the things that I actually love and that I talk about in my book, which is quantitative analysis, fundamental analysis in this order, and technical analysis, and then gives you specific buy and sell or neutral or decision-making tools. It'll probably cut your decision-making and your research down by about 80%. And for those of you that have a terribly tough time understanding a lot of this, it will help you kind of really just, you know, put some like nitrous oxide in your tank, really blow you right past the average guy that's just out there taking a stock tip from here or there that doesn't understand why they're doing it. Because this tool not only is relatively inexpensive, I must tell you, but it's fast, it's accurate, and it brings together so much data right in the palm of your hands that it's just actually incredible. In the show notes, I'm going to have some pictures of the actual software that you could take a look at and a further description of it. But we're going to bring Barry Ritholtz together. It's premiering. It's brand new on the market March 1st. So this is kind of the first out-of-the-box discussion of it, I think. And we're going to bring him together and talk about exactly how Fusion IQ can help you be much more profitable. And then what we're going to do is talk about a couple of different stocks. Actually, I have some things off the side on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, a favorite of mine for some time. I've been bugging out about, you know, did you read my blog post about 52 billion chickens? How, you know, the incredible amount of chickens that are being eaten on a worldwide basis, and where are they coming from? Well, I have loved the idea of a company that I've talked to you before about is Sanderson Farms, symbol SAFM. And actually, Barron's picked up my discussion on it this weekend, and it's in the Barron's. It's in one of the recommended list of Barron's, and actually quoted me and used my research to come up with why it's a good idea that Sanderson Farms may in fact end up in the 40s real quick, which is about a 30% up from where it is right now, even considering the current corn prices. We'll also have a story about that on the site, thedisciplinedinvestor.com, shortly. So do me a favor, stick around, because when we get back, we're going to jump right into that discussion with Barry Ritholtz of The Big Picture and Fusion IQ to figure out how best to make you some money and to profit on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. We'll be right back.
Looking for answers to today's complex financial markets? Then be sure to get your copy of The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success, your all-in-one guide to investing. Order now at thedisciplinedinvestor.com or your favorite bookstore. The Disciplined Investor. Together, we will reach success.
And now back to the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
Hi, this is Kate Salter from Investors Business Daily, and you're listening to Andrew Horowitz on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
All right, with us again, we have Barry Ritholtz of Fusion IQ, and we're going to get into this discussion about how, in fact, to use this wonderful and revolutionary and game-changing software system to pick some stocks. What I want to mention to you first is, that, as I mentioned, in the next, I believe it's the next actual episode, we're going to have a listener questions. We have so many guests lined up. It's unbelievable. But I'm going to break and have listener questions. If you have a question about a stock or a bond or a mutual fund or a financial situation, take this number down. I want you to call in. Don't be shy. 877-623-8473. Again, it's 877-623-8473. We're going to have your questions, and I want you to ask whatever you want. This is your opportunity to really kind of ask whatever you want and get the advice, and it's going to be good. I think that we're going to help a lot of people there. All right, so Barry Ritholtz, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate it. Now, tell me, what is your actual involvement, and how, you know, what do you do for this company? And tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. I'm the CEO and Director of Equity Research at Fusion. My partner is Kevin Lane. He's a gentleman well-known on Wall Street. Business Week did a whole feature on him. Analysts that get it. He was one of the few people that correctly warned about Tyco and Enron while they were still close to their highs, and just a very, very good technical analyst. And a product that we've developed over the years is really a quantitative-based system, and it started out a couple of years ago just exporting data into Excel and looking at about a dozen separate technical and fundamental metrics. And, you know, most people seem to get lost. They start looking at 50 and 100, all these crazy different things. We eliminated anything we thought was borderline, cut it down to just really the nuts and bolts of technicals and fundamentals. And it's things like short-term and intermediate-term trends, money flow to the group and money flow to individual sectors, short interest, institutional ownership, earnings consistency, and things like that that are purely mathematical, and we generate a ranking system. We come out with over 7,000 stocks ranked on a 0 to 100 scale. The stocks 70 and above do much better than the stocks under 70.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our back testing has shown, and we eat our own cooking. We've used the system as a way to generate stock ideas for our managed accounts. Last year, we were up about 18%, which significantly outperformed not counting dividends, outperformed the S&P pretty well.
Yeah, huge
margin.
It
was mostly because we avoided big losers and had a couple of giant winners. You know, the agricultural stocks and the energy stocks did great for us, and we stayed clear of the retailers, the home builders, and the financials, because their rankings were so low for the previous year and a half.
Right. Well, what's interesting is I had some time to play with the pre-released version of this, and what I thought was really interesting is when you come up with these qualifications in your rankings and all of the various metrics, as you say, that go into this, and then you show historical recommendations, whether you're neutral or you're a buy or sell position on it, it seems to be pretty accurate, obviously, from the ones I've looked at. And then I think what is most important here is one of the things that you say in one of your paragraphs in discussing what this software does is it takes the emotion out of the whole process, which is the absolute killer of portfolios that I have found.
It's true, and it has you do things that, it left to your own instinct, you would say, absolutely positively, I will not do that. That's the worst possible idea I could possibly do. I'll give you a couple examples. In December 2006, we had recommended, it was actually in Business Week, our best pick for 2007 was Mosaic. And you know, that one turned out to be a big winner.
Mm-hmm.
But we had first recommended it in the teens and the 20s, and it had run up to 40 and then pulled back, and then it broke out over 40. Most people would look at that and say, hey, you know, that's had a great run, but it's time to walk away. The system had generated a second buy signal after previously going to neutral. So we bought it again. And you know, it's one of those things where you hold your nose and buy it, and lo and behold, it worked out really well. As I'm speaking today on February 29th, the Mosaic is well over 100.
Right.
On the short side, similar things happened. Fannie Mae had fallen from, I think, the 70s to the mid-40s, we generated a sell on it. And I got a lot of grief from clients and people, what are you shorting this? It's already dropped 30 points. You people are crazy. And next thing you know, Fannie Mae is in the high 20s. We've been short AIG coming into today.
Oof.
And on yesterday's debacle, you know, we basically covered half this morning. And now that we have some profits locked in, we'll let this run.
Right.
So what I really like about the system is, these ideas that get generated, that if you ask 9 out of 10 traders, hey, how do you feel about shorting Fannie Mae down 30 points? They'll say, Oh, it's run too far.
Right, too much. It's done its deal already.
By the way, the flip side of that is we constantly hear, gee, it's a great stock, it's a great idea, but it's extended. I don't want to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And what the system has kind of taught me over the years are stocks that are expensive and extended tend to keep going, and stocks that have fallen and looked like, oh, that's had a terrible drop, tend to keep going that way.
Right.
So, you know, it's a cliche, but it's true. The trend is your friend.
Right. Well, what's also interesting is two things. I found it very easy to use because there's a lot of drop-down boxes that are predefined with information. And I got to tell you something, seriously, it is quick. I mean, it is quick.
Well, there's a lot of data it crunches, and the version that you're looking at right now is the end-of-day version, meaning that the data is fully updated each and every market close. 20 minutes after the market closes, we get a full data dump from 6 or 7 different sources. It's not just prices, but it's the dividends, it's the corporate actions, the mergers. It's amazing how many different data sources they are, and none of them want to play well together. It turns out that the algorithms are the easy part. The hard part was making all the different data cooperate. Down the road, we have plans for a real-time version, and that is just an order of magnitude more complex. I don't know if that one will be as quick as this one, but once you get the data in and massaged, which it's all automatically updated each evening, it should be relatively fast. And, you know, the drop-downs you're talking about, we take that basic ranking system, and then we run a different set of algorithms on top of it. So we look for stocks that were poorly ranked but are moving higher on increasing volume and increasing price with a low institutional ownership and a high short interest. Some of our best, and that's our short squeeze screen,
mm-hmm.
And some of our favorite ideas this year came out of that. In addition to Mosaic, we bought Chipotle Mexican Grill in the mid-50s because of that, and we also recently have been buying Coin. I don't know if you're familiar with that stock.
COINZ, I believe it is?
COIN, and that's the one that converted organics, anything in the agriculture space is
mm-hmm.
great.
Right.
But that was a $3 stock that's now 12 and change. And even in this market, as we're talking to the Dow's down over 200, this thing is up another 50 cents. So,
right.
And again, you would have looked at this stock at 3 and said, why do I want to buy a $3 stock? Oh, it's junk. And you would have walked away from it because that's what your emotion tells you to do. Here it is. The thing is, we sold some at 14. We still have a partial position. It's had a huge run, but again, left to my own devices, if someone would have shown me that, I converted our time.
Right, exactly.
$3, get me a real stock. But it does real volume, it does $1 million a day, it's still a micro cap, but you know, you could play in names that you would otherwise completely avoid.
Right. So one of the things, and again, we're here with Barry Ritholtz, who is not only a great blogger and well-known for his investment acumen and long-term look at the markets, but also he is now involved with Fusion IQ, which is a great product to do some quantitative screening and fundamental analysis, and gives you not a black box, but a real good look at what stocks make the grade from a short, long, or not buying or neutral standpoint. Let me ask you this: this is something that haunts me, and I'll dare say that I'm going to say you're going to be right on the game with me here. Data integrity. Always a hot button. I'm always concerned that the data that I get is up to date, correct, scrubbed, you know, because that if you don't have the right data, you know, the whole thing is blown, right? How do you ensure that?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a bear to keep on top of it. In addition to everybody, you know, we have about a dozen people in the firm. In addition to everybody who comes from a trading background, either worked on a desk or managed assets, in addition to having a lot of different eyes look at it, we end up finding these funny little glitches by the readers, by the users. Different people have said to us, hey, you know, this stock split 3-for-2 and it shows up as a 2-for-1. And for whatever reason, the data source that gave us that particular stock had it wrong. So we're constantly checking. You know, we'll check Thomson versus Bloomberg. We'll check IBIS versus Strike Iron. There's 100 different sources that we do this with. Given the fact that it's 7,000 stocks and ETFs, there's always new data each day. We're always looking for what's wrong. In 99% of the cases, the data is correct and back-tested and validated. But every now and then, we find something that's a little quirky. And I'll give you another example. Something that was an ADR that was trading in the United States, you'd get these weird gaps, and the system was not identifying the overnight trading in Europe. But since it's an NYSE stock that trades as an ADR, we end up leaving it like that.
And
it's what's the really strange thing is this is end of day data. It's 9:30 to 4 U.S. There's really not a whole lot you could do about that unless you want to start making some of these things 24 hours, you know, actual trading both U.S. and overseas.
Right.
Anytime we see, and by the way, one of the algorithms we run are trading gaps. That's how we ended up finding out about this. There's an old Wall Street saw that all gaps get filled. It turns out that that's actually not true. You look at Google, you've had a number of big gaps that, well, at least so far, they haven't been they haven't been filled at 200 and 300. We'll see. Hopefully that won't happen. But when we start identifying these different glitches, it leads us in these directions to say, well, what happens if this, and this happens? And we end up creating these other algorithms. So the gaps are good. The buy and sell signals are interesting. The breakouts and breakdowns are interesting. And these are just mathematically defined price action combined with the ranking system that, you know, gives us a way to look at these that are a lot better than I think, I feel, I want, I hope. That's what you typically get from people, and we try and avoid that.
Well, back in October of 2007, I found a little quote of yours, and you said, in my experience, we humans are really lousy at forecasting the future. We try to couch things in terms of percentages and statistics, any way to kind of make our case, I guess, is the point. And I think the point here is that by taking that aspect out, and I kind of talk about this all the time, taking that whole emotional and that whole greed and fear aspect out of it and looking kind of like the facts and just the facts really gives you a much better opportunity. And then the other thing is that I'll tell you what I really like about this is that except for finding some extremely high end that goes with high priced opportunities in this kind of area, you are following along, and I'm sure you didn't do it for me, obviously, but following along exactly what I love to do, which is quantitative analysis first, fundamental analysis second, and then the buy signals for technical, kind of blending it in whatever your proprietary nature is to give people a streamlined approach to doing it themselves. And to be honest with you, from what I saw, the prices of this, it's nothing. I mean, it's very inexpensive to get such an incredible amount of really professional power in a package that people can use every day. So I think it's awesome.
And you know, the thing that makes this so fascinating is they're really, if you want a quantitative system, the bulk of them, they're at prop desks at Goldman Sachs and UBS, and they're at big hedge funds like Pequot and SAC and DLG. But there really isn't anything available for the individual investor that's remotely close to the power of those sort of things. And we were surprised when we first came up with the idea of saying, hey, we've been making money for clients with this. Why don't we embed this in a web page and offer it to the public? And so we went out and looked at what the competition was, and we were stunned to find out that there's nothing out there for the individual investor that's remotely high-powered quantitative analysis. Granted, this is end-of-day data. I don't think it's something that the active day trader is going to want to try and use for intraday signals. That'll be version two, but you know, just to do a basic high-level quantitative analysis, I'll give you a perfect example of what's possible and easy once you set it up and embed it in the web page. So when you go to FusionIQRank.com and log into the system, one of the pull-down tabs is something called Street Watcher. And what it does is give you all of the day's Wall Street upgrades and downgrades, their fundamental basis, and it shows you the quantitative ranking on these. And some of them are kind of interesting. You'll see a stock that's been ranked 90 for 6 months that somebody had as a hold and now just upgraded to a buy, but the stock has gone from 20 to 100. I think they're a little late to the party. And then every now and then you'll see these stocks that are disasters that the analysts try and get a little cute with and try and bottom pick. If you look at all the home builders and the finance stocks, we saw a lot of, you know, after downgrades, we saw upgrades. And they were all ranked very poorly, so we stayed away from them, and it turns out the fundamental guys were wrong,
right?
And the mathematical quant system was right. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a matter of finding stocks and making money. It's also a matter of staying away from things that are going to take cash out of your pocket.
Right. Well, let's end with this. Tell me how you, if you were an individual investor, you got this fresh out of the box and you're ready to go, how would you use it starting in the morning? What would you do with this?
Well, first, you know, you enter your portfolio in it just to keep track of it, and that'll do a couple of things for you. First, you can see what your highest and lowest ranked holdings are. Second, by going to your portfolio every day, you'll see if you actually see a new sell signal generated on it, and that'll help you determine if you either want to hedge your position with by marrying a put to it, or maybe lighten it up a little bit, or tighten up a stop loss. And then the other thing we do is we use various screens, and as an individual investor, I would use things like the breakouts or breakdowns, the short squeezes, to identify new names to consider adding to the portfolio. And it's, you know, a year and a half ago, Mosaic wasn't a household name, but you ask anybody on at any trading desk on Wall Street, what is Mosaic, and they'll tell you exactly what it was. The system found that long before it became popular and long before the prices run up. So it's an objective way to identify future runners before you hear them on TV or read them in the magazine.
That's great. Well, this is, I know this is brand new, about to hit the streets like immediately. And what I'll do is, in the show notes for this podcast episode, we will put links to how you can get it and maybe a couple of screenshots, if that's okay, so people can get a little taste of it.
That would be great. We're you know, we've done, quote-unquote, the soft launch now that we've just about finished the beta testing. And come March 1st, this will go live to the public, and we're starting out with a couple of hundred subscribers, and from here, we'll see where it goes.
All right, so who, if I'm out there listening to this right now, and I'm saying, okay, all right, I got all these things that I can use, I mean, who is this really ripe for? Who's this the perfect candidate for?
Right now, I would say the three pretty typical candidates. One is the individual investor, someone who's self-directed and is running his own money, and would like to have access to the sort of tools that the high horsepower computers and the high, real powerful software that previously was unavailable to the individuals and is now within their reach. By the way, the cost of this is $40 a month. Prior to this, if you wanted a system like this, it would cost you $2 or $3 million to build one. And the ones that are on the big trading desks are, you know, $5 and $10 million.
Well, just the data itself would cost a fortune.
Yeah, we spend about $10,000 a month on data. And if we go to real time, that'll go to about $25,000 a month. But, you know, a spread. Our plan was to spread this out over a few thousand people. And, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 a month in data becomes nothing when it's accessed by, you know, 5 or 10,000 individuals. It's almost a pittance. The second group of people that are involved, and we just know from our own experience, have been people who work on Wall Street, either they're on trading desks, or they're managing assets, or they're involved in some form of trading, and it's a way for them to keep track of what their holdings are. And these are typically either prop traders or anybody who's a market maker. It gives them a little insight as to what the intermediate term prospects for a stock is. You know, I started in this business as a trading desk, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen different guys who are executing trades say, well, I'm going to take a position in this stock, or I'm going to short this to the whoever wants to buy it because I don't think the stock has prospects. And I watch these guys get steamrolled because they were using their gut and not using a quantitative system.
Right.
And then the third group are actually, we have clients that are institutional asset managers, fund managers, hedge fund managers, and surprisingly, we have a lot of value guys using the system because they've told us, I want an objective way to backstop my own methodology, and we use these metrics. We look PE and value in this, but I'd like to have a system that's completely different from mine. And so every now and then we'll have a guy say, look, we own these four stocks and we want to sell one. Which one would you recommend? So we punch it in the system, an 86, a 92, an 85, and a 50. We're telling them to sell the 50, and or conversely, they're considering these three stocks, and it's a 40, a 50, and an 80. We'd say you want to buy the 80, and
right.
And so it's really surprising. We never expected to get value investors using a quant tool,
right.
But it makes sense. They want to kind of have a second look at their own methodology.
Yeah, and I think the timing is right now. I mean, the fact is people are kind of sick and tired of just, you know, hearing it and buying it and realizing that it was full of hot air, and they want a little bit more backing of this whole thing. Great. Well, you know what? I'm going to put a good recommendation on this, and I think it's great. Thanks for joining me, Barry Ritholtz, Fusion IQ. I'll put the links on the show notes. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Grammar Girl from QuickAndDirtyTips.com, and you're listening to the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
All right, that was a great interview because I am always on the watch, always looking for a great way to find winning stocks. A great way to really understand the tools that go and the techniques that go into, I should say, stock picking. And I think they really did a great job with that. All right, so let's skip over to a couple of things. I want to talk to you about, I want to talk to you about a class I'm teaching. If you haven't signed up for the Cyber Trading class, Portfolio Mastery, go to the website. There's a free course button. Actually, the paid course is coming up this week. You got to pay a little bit to get in, but it's a two-day course. I think you're going to enjoy that. And, of course, I'm going to remind you again before we get into this next discussion about the fact that the next show, the next episode of The Disciplined Investor is all about your questions, your concerns, the things that you really want to talk about. And I wanted to give you that number again because I want to make sure you do call. Please go ahead and call and ask some questions because it's going to be a better show with more participation. It's toll-free. Dial 877-623-8473. Again, I'll put that number in the show notes as well at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. And check out the site because there's a couple of reports on there that you want to see at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Make sure that you make sure to check out this one that I did. I think it's kind of neat. I want to talk to you about this, and I want to tell you some of the things that I came up with, which I thought was kind of fun. If you've been paying attention to some of the latest news, you know, we have a commodity inflation craze going on right now. And what I wanted to do, and I thought it was kind of funny, because in each of the times we get into something like this where we see rampant, either a rampant market bubble or some other kind of strange market situation, it seems to come up with some very crazy terminology. So I wrote up a post called Jargon and People and Term Update. You got to check it out. It's pretty funny. I wrote about things like, I said, you know, one of the things that we're going to have coming up next year seems to be things like pizza inflation. Have you been reading about this? I mean, it looks like the cause of incredible amount of inflationary pressure on pizza, which of course is made from flour and dough, is wheat. We have this huge rise in pricing for wheat right now, and not to mention all the other food products. And we have a real problem for many of our local and corner pizza parlors, or the pizza restaurants, or the Domino's, whatever it may be, because of this food inflation. So I thought I'd come up with some interesting phrases. Let me give you some, and then you can check out the rest of the site. Single-family refrigerator box. Sad but true. So many people are out of their homes right now, but I think that we're going to be looking at things like Florida condo swamps, maximum wage as opposed to minimum wage, the oil standard instead of the dollar gold standard, mandatory population thinning, things like multi-generational mortgages, commodity hoarding, insourcing, Section 8 bankruptcies. I thought I'd come up with some new company names. What about MacBook Airlines and Lehman City Goldman Brothers et al.? The Arson Training Institute, with people looking for ways out of their homes right now. And how about some people? How about Vice President Winfrey? Sad, but probably not possible, but Regis and Hillary Live. And, of course, Governor Kramer. You know, Jim Cramer is on a quest to straighten things out. Who knows where he goes next, especially if we have maybe a Bloomberg throwing his hat in the ring, which is probably highly improbable, but who knows. I also want to talk to you about two things. So I talk about this whole idea of food inflation, right? So you got to put your thinking caps on, right? What's going to be happening? You know, we have prices just skyrocketing for all sorts of food ingredients because if you think about it, I view most of the world as a giant Pac-Man these days, and they're wonka, 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 they're going after the food. I mean, they're just eating ourselves out of house and home because the population is just so incredibly huge right now. You know, we talk about China, 3.5 billion, but what about the rest of the world? I mean, we are just hoarding through everything, and whether it's dry good materials or food products or building and the materials such as oil, et cetera. It's not limited. It seems that we are doing an incredible job of really finishing off any hope we have of making it through what is maybe to be a global warming crisis, because we're not going to have any food left if we keep this up. So I put together an analysis, and I said, where is it that we're really going to find this happening? Well, I wrote a post called 52 billion chickens, oh my. But I started to think about a company in the chicken area. And there's a few of them in there, but I narrowed it down to Sanderson Farms. S-A-F-M is the symbol on that. And the reason that I liked them was that if you look at corn prices and you compare that to the price of Sanderson Farms, you'll find a direct correlation. Actually, it's fully negatively correlated, meaning that when corn prices go up, usually you find that Sanderson Farms' price of their stock goes down. Nonetheless, as we're seeing an incredible rise and really almost a speculative rise right now in the commodity and food commodity prices, you have to wonder what's going to happen next. And you think about it and look at all the details and read the company reports, it seems logical they'll do what a FedEx did. And that was they'll pass on, as FedEx passed on the gas prices to the consumer directly, the same thing's going to happen with Sanderson Farms. Will it pass on the food and grain prices for feeding of their chickens to, obviously, the consumer? In addition to that, while that happens, there'll still be an incredible rise in the price of poultry goods as we see the beef scare that recently happened, the historic level of beef recall really hit into high gear. Now, all that together seems to me, when you look at the recent report that they put out last week in terms of their earnings, to be a real buy signal for Sanderson Farms. So we've been buying this up for our clients, and it seemed they liked it so much. Barron's picked it up as well. This week in the Barron's article, you'll find my name listed about my recommendation for Sanderson Farms. And the writer had told the readers that he believes that if you look at the overall world situation in terms of chicken and the even with notwithstanding the price of corn, that they believe that Sanderson Farms should pop up dramatically if things do align correctly and if they keep their various chicken plants in processing and at the production level they have now, because especially the reason why they dropped the last 2 years was the effect of Hurricane Katrina. Now everything is up into normal, and they're even looking for a new plant in North Carolina. So all those things together seem to add up to an opportunity for me. So take a look at Sanderson Farms. Again, we'll put that information on the show notes for this particular episode. And one last thing, somebody asked me in a recent email, where do I find the information? What do you mean by show notes? I have iTunes. What do I do? The show notes for every single episode are on the disciplinedinvestor.com website. All you have to do is go there. And when you go there, there'll be entries for a variety of things. And one of the things is going to be for all the podcasts that we do. Just go there and check out the episode that corresponds with the podcast. And what you'll find is that there are notes, information, there are links, there are places to go, and additional details that maybe we didn't talk about on the podcast to give you some filler and where to go. So now let's talk about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You know, last podcast, I was pretty much a crazy man talking about all the problems that could arise in the housing and mortgage area. So what I did was I took a look at what is happening with the latest announcement from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, because there was a discussion by Bernanke in a regularly scheduled meeting of and testimony before Congress, and he was talking about how and by the way, if you took a look at that, it was a pretty rude session. Some of the senators had other things, or the people that were grilling him, essentially, seemed to have other things to do and other votes to take, and they kind of put him off a few times, and there was a few discussion times when Bernanke stopped and waited for the scuttlebutt to stop around. It was kind of interesting, kind of rude. But nonetheless, there was a very fascinating, at least in my opinion, fascinating thing that happened. As the testimony was going on, a little wire item about the spread caps, or the amount of money, essentially, that Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae were able to actually loan, were lifted. Back in 2004, there was a limitation on how much could actually be borrowed and utilized by them, because in 2004 and before that, there was an oversight committee that took a look at what they were doing, and they found that they were really not keeping very good records, and many things had fallen through the cracks at these two agencies or these two companies, and they put a moratorium on the amount that would be allowed to be lent compared to their capital structure. And it seems now that that has been lifted. How stupid is that? I mean, we are going through a major historic credit crisis, a liquidity crunch, and what they're going to do in their infinite wisdom is throw more credit at it. Oh, my. That is absolutely the wrong thing to do. How in the world does that keep their problems in check? How does that solve our problems? Okay, it allows for additional potential, because it's going to actually ramp up. It allows for potential new loans to be made or additional loans to be made. But wasn't that cushion there, that 30% corridor there, to help keep the stability of these quasi-agency companies during times when write-offs and write-downs were growing? You know, this cushion is analogous to the loan to value that homeowners were required to utilize. You know, we used to have a 20% corridor that we were required to have, and then somehow that disappeared. Now, this is a problem. I think at first when this happened, you saw the stocks initially jump. They went up about $3 or $4 on this news. Slowly but surely, they dropped back and they came down. And the markets, in fact, came down last week at the end of the week pretty hard. Some of the things that I saw just at the time that we saw the news come across on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac on the headlines were these. Freddie Mac posts wider loss of $2.5 billion in quarter four as loan defaults mounted. Big losses for Freddie Mac. Fannie Mae posts nearly $3.6 billion in fourth quarter. Oh my God. Moody's puts Fannie Mae rating on review. A quasi-government agency that is backed by the government, essentially. They're going to put them on review. And Freddie Mac posts wider losses in the fourth quarter again as you're finding default after default after default, and they're growing. What are they thinking? What this signals to me is a time to stop and step back for a moment and realize that they're frightened. Bernanke, the crew at the Fed, the government, and all of the powers that be are scared because there is incredible amounts of ripple that are causing this domino effect. And I've talked about this time and time again. I'm not going to get into this into too much detail because we did talk about it. And I would suggest you hop over to the site because there's a couple of charts on there that you need to see. The U.S. nominal home price appreciation, what's going on, as well as the recent subprime operations and delinquencies of what's happening as the new loans that were made in 2007 compared to those that were made in 2003. What is going on there? And I will tell you, it is not a pretty picture. You need to see this. Need to judge for yourself and realize this is not a time to jump in. Where Fannie Mae back in October was about $75 a share, now trading at about $27 or so. And Freddie Mac also seeing significant pain, trading at about $70 or so back at the same time and now at about $25. We are not short. We are not long these positions right now. But I will tell you that if you have a position here, you need to do a double check of why it is. And you need to also look at the bonds and preferreds of this to see if this is something that you really want to take the risk of, because this risk right now, when it comes to the credit areas, is too great. Now, the final thing that I want to talk about today is the idea of a new IPO that's coming to market. The latest buzz is that Visa, which is a credit card processor, which is different than a credit card company which issues credit, because they don't issue credit. They issue the actual credit card. That's when you look at a Visa card, take a Visa card and look at it. What's on it, right? It's a bank, the Citibank Visa or the Bank of America Visa, whatever it is. It is not a company that does anything more than provide the credit processing, and they get the charges on an ongoing basis from your use of your credit cards. It's going to be hot, and it might actually, and it seems to be obviously, the largest IPO that was ever put on the market, the largest corporate IPO that has ever been opened up on the market. That's interesting. That's interesting because I think there's an incredible amount of people that are looking for options because of the current state of the markets and where to put new money, but beware. They are not exempt from the credit problems because as people continue to lay off credit, and there has been a lot of speculation that the credit cards are going to be the next problem in our markets because people are exhausting them left and right. And if credit cards are exhausted, credit is taken away from people, companies like Visa and MasterCard cannot actually really provide any more transactions. I mean, essentially, and that's what they make their money from. So whether or not they are going to be affected from the credit outstanding, be aware that they will be affected from the lack of credit that's available to the consumer moving forward. Okay? Now, I'm not suggesting that the IPO is not going to be oversubscribed to, et cetera, but there's a lot of hype going into this one as usual. And what I would say to you is I would, if you want to try to do some speculative buying, have a good time. But you know what? We're going to sit on the sideline and kind of wait it out and see where it plays out, because the overall taste for individuals' risk right now is so removed. And most individuals, as they say, are out of the market right now in terms of trading and really sitting on the sidelines waiting for something to break dramatically. And I think that that's something you need to be aware of. So keep that in mind. Again, we'll have more information about all this on the show notes. And next week, don't forget, it's going to be your show. 877-623-8473 is the number for you to call in. Don't be shy. Come on, I want to hear from you. Those of you that have emailed me many questions in the past, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. call up and ask your question on the toll-free listener line of The Disciplined Investor at 877-623-8473. And we may have some prizes for those of you who do risk it and call in. So that's my promise to you. Do yourselves a favor. You know how I get paid for this show? I get paid by you going out and picking up my book, The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success, over at Amazon. The audiobook will be available very soon. And for those of you that have written me in the last couple of weeks, because we got a lot of these, I promised you I was going to answer this question. Yes, Horowitz & Company is a money management firm. We manage about $70 million of assets. If you want to have us take a look at what's going on, because you are many people have written me that they're very scared, they don't know what to do right now, you can call us or you can write to us. Write to askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and I'll take a look at your portfolio. I'll see what's going on, and I'll give you some advice and see if we can help you, okay? So that was my response to many of the emails that came in the last 2 weeks or so about, does Horowitz & Company take on new clients? Well, we do. We have some special limitations and some things that we'll tell you about, but I'll be happy to help you to begin with. So write askandrew@thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and we'll be sure to help. All right, we'll see you next week. We'll hear from you next week, and please call up about your questions on the listener line. And until then, have a very safe week, and we'll speak to you real soon on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager. The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations, and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.